You are listening to the podcast of Lancaster Covenant Church. We seek to worship God, tell others about Jesus Christ, nurture new believers, and grow together in the knowledge and love of our Savior.
Sing our vision statement next. This is a song you know that we try to do once a month. Okay, here we go.
Mother of our Jesus Christ.
please turn and greet one another this morning. Welcome to worship. We'll continue now with some announcements today. To begin with, there is a play on Friday that John Erkus has written for Heritage Christian School, and he has flyers that he's going to hand out. The play is Friday at 7 o'clock and Saturday at 7 o'clock, and we have some, I think, actors, actresses maybe from this church that are in that. Is that right, John? Yeah. And he's completely ready. He's not nervous. And I'm not telling the truth, but it's going to go really well. So at Heritage Christian School, this Friday at 7 and Saturday at 7 as well. Also, on Friday, we have our Good Friday service here at 7:30. So please come and just take part in that. It'll be just a great time to come together and remember what Friday was all about and what it's still about today. Also, we have no Sunday school next Sunday, on Easter Sunday, and it is April 1st. It is not a joke, but it is. There is no Sunday school, and we're going to be celebrating Easter. Also, we have all April newsletter items need to be here today, and as you can see, we have a public safety meeting scheduled for April 5th, so that's a week from Thursday, I believe, and that is at 6:30 right here, and you can see what it's about. We have posters up. And we're spreading the word. There will be an ad in the paper over the next couple weeks. Just a good thing to bring people to and to encourage them ways that we can help protect each other as well as our children as well. Also, April Council meeting will be on the 19th at 7 o'clock. And River Valley Women's Ministry Spring Rally will be on April 10th in Roseau. And you can see the registration is there. And please talk to Faye or Julie or Janelle Ostrup if you plan to attend that as well. Also, the Women's Blue Water Retreat, June 8th through the 10th. Make a note of that as well. Tomorrow, we are having praise team practice, and anyone that would like to join us, we are going to go over some new songs and start incorporating some new songs in our worship time. And so that's at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. So,
hey, Pastor, I've got some really exciting news.
Oh, really?
I do.
Who is this strange lady?
And they're coming in soon. I have 11 surprises. So just watch and listen.
I see him coming now. I hear something too.
We only had sheep heads, so they're pretending to be goats. But how many people in the audience can remember how many goats we were going to try to raise for Samaritan's Purse? Yes, Sophie. 10. And how many do you count up here, hopefully? There should be, there is 11. They brought in enough money for 11 goats, and Sherry's sending it off. So Thank you, Sunday School, and those who gave to the offering up here. And now our offering is going to go for Jungle Kids Ministry that Kelvin and Monica are in charge of. So keep giving. But I'm amazed. It was about $800 since Christmas time. So that was great. Thank you, kids.
That's great. Way to go, kids. Thank you, Julie. Are there any other announcements this morning that we might have missed? Okay, we're going to continue on then. Andy, I think you're going to take care of scripture and prayer for us. So thank you.
Okay, scripture today is John 12, 12 through 19. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." Okay, are there any prayer requests? Galen?
Pray for Owen Swenson. Surgery went well. Now he's recovered. And also for Jack Thompson. And Joanna Cole.
Megan? God, we thank you for bringing us all here today. We praise you for another beautiful day and pray for more beautiful weather. We just pray for Owen Swenson, Jack Thompson, and Joanna Cole. We pray for healing for them with their cancer. And we pray for Mark and Matt's Aunt Carol, who was just diagnosed with breast cancer. Please give her peace and give the family peace, just to put it in your hands for healing, and hopefully they can get some treatment figured out. We pray for Janie's appointment tomorrow, that there's no repercussions from her accident a few months ago. We pray that her headaches and neck pain will go away. And we also pray for Hope, that you'll just give her peace and for her to put the situation in your hands and know that you have complete control over this situation. We pray for Matt Zander and Tristan Magner, who were both diagnosed with brain cancer. We thank you that they're doing well and pray that they continue healing and get some treatments figured out. We pray for Pam Duvall, who's due to have shoulder surgery. We pray that that will go well. We pray for the world leaders and for peace in our country. Pray for Scott Shostrand and Joy and Caleb. Give Joy some healing and peace with her pregnancy, that everything will go well and the baby and Joy will be okay. And give Caleb the knowledge to know how to help. Pray for Curtis Nygaard, who is in the hospital. We pray for healing for him and for Chisholm's procedure tomorrow on his toe. Give Chisholm peace and just know that everything will be all right. We pray for the play at Heritage, that it will reach who it needs to reach and that everything will go smoothly and everybody will just have peace And we pray for Eleanor Kroska. We pray for healing for her. And we praise for Lil and her headaches that have gone away. We pray for continued healing for her. And thank you for this day. We thank you for everybody that could be here. And bless Galen's sermon. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Andy. Very good. Also, I was going to announce, too, that we do have nursery anytime. So we have people down there, I believe, and it's... So if you want to send your kids down, you can definitely do that. You don't have to wait for the sermon. So we're going to have an offering now, and also we have special music. Scarlett and Kaylee are going to come up and sing Waiting for us. So ushers, if you could come, and we will pray before we begin. The offering is going not towards goats, is that right? But now towards Calvin and Monica's ministry. Jungle Kids. I was going to say Mountain Men, but that's not right. Jungle Kids. Okay, let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for opportunities to give and to just be the people that you call us to be, Lord. We are, what a gift to us, Lord, that we can join you, God, in spreading the good news. We pray that you guide us now, bless this offering, and lead our service. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Can you turn my mic down just a little bit? Just a tad.
Oh.
You are the love that will never let go. Here in the waiting, so I'll be here waiting.
Beautiful. Thank you, Kaylee and Scarlett. We'll continue with some praise singing, so please stand and join us, and praise team, if you could come up. Beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Draw me close to you. Thank you.
This is my daily bread. Father, we just thank you for this day. And Lord, as we prepare for Holy Week, Lord, I just ask, Lord, that we can calm our minds and our hearts, and we can just reflect, Lord, on what the meaning of this week is, that we can draw closer to you, Lord, and focus on you and the sacrifice and the love that you showed for us. We just ask you to be with Galen now as he gives your message, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Well, if my calculations are right, it's been 1985 Palm Sundays since the first. I did a bunch of research. We remember back in seminary, we'd go through this, and we tried to pinpoint through prophecy that Daniel, from Daniel chapter 9, and it talked about the prophecy of the coming decree, and it talked about seven sevens and 77s, and you put that all together, and you end up with A lot of days, 530 years, these people were waiting for the coming Messiah to come into town, to come to their world, 530 years before this happened. So on March 30th of 33 AD, they believe that they actually can figure it out really close, and not everybody believes this, but that's okay, doesn't matter. The truth is he came into town. So let's say, for example, March 30th, 33 AD, this is the day, 530 years before that, Daniel prophesied that there would be a decree. Nehemiah asked for a decree to build Jerusalem back up. And when I calculated all out, what I ended up with was two sheets of math that I don't hardly understand. But one of these days, I'm going to print out something, and I'm going to show you what we studied and why we think that this is really amazing. God is sovereign, and he is so in control. And my thought is, if you were Jesus Christ, if you were the Son of God, if you were King of Kings and Lord of Lords, how would you have come? How would you have come into the world? I would have come on a white stallion, maybe. Maybe come in the clouds, a horse riding through the clouds, making this big thing, trumpets blaring. And yet we know from Scripture, from Zechariah 9:9, that something very unusual happened. A prophecy again, 500 and some years earlier, says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Back in Jesus' day, that's not how a king came into town. But Jesus came bringing something very unique to the world, something that had never happened before and never needs to happen again, because salvation is found only in Jesus Christ. Amen. For there is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved, and he brought peace. That's what he brought when he brought this donkey and he rode into town. Today is Palm Sunday, and we celebrate. And it's the first of the day of what we call Holy Week. So as you know, notice in your bulletins, I printed off something, as best as I could come up with, the last week of Jesus. And I would like you to put this on your fridge or wherever, and just look at it every week. Put it in your Bible. Monday, study what happened Monday. And then Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday. There are so many significant events that happened during this week in history. And I think it's good to recognize it, and every year, and to try to understand just what Jesus was going through before he was crucified on Friday and rose again on Sunday. And as you can see from your handout, every day is significant in some way. There's what we call Holy Monday, Holy Tuesday, Spy Wednesday. These are some of the words that have been given to it. Maundy Thursday, Maundy, in which in Latin means command. And I thought of that, I thought John 13, 34, what does Jesus say on Thursday? He says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. What a beautiful command. And then we get to Good Friday, which we will be having a service for, and then what they call Holy Saturday. And I always like goofy little things, so I call it Suspicious Saturday. Because this is what was going on, Matthew 27, 62 through 66. I'm going to read it to you. I don't have it on the screen. It says, the next day after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, Sir, we remember how that imposter, naming Jesus, said while he was still alive, after 3 days I will rise. Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go, steal him away, and tell the people he's risen. And the last fraud would be worse than the first. So Pilate said to them, You have a guard of soldiers. Go make it as secure as you can. So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. That's what I call suspicious in a very nervous group of Pharisees. But Passion Week was named this because, I say, of the total commitment of Jesus, the passion that he willingly went to the cross in order to pay for the sins of his people. And as I said, Passion Week has many, many memorable events. Jesus cleansing the temple for the second time in Luke 19. The first time was in John 2. You can read about it, John 2, 11 through 12. But this is the second time he cleanses the temple. Then he disputed with the Pharisees regarding his authority. They were arguing, who are you, Jesus? And Jesus spoke with authority. And then Jesus gave his Olivet Discourse, we've heard, and he talked about the end times and about his coming back again. Jesus also ate his Last Supper with his disciples in the upper room. We read that in Luke 22. And then to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he prayed and he waited again, more waiting for his hour to come. It was here that Jesus would have been and was betrayed by Judas. He was arrested and taken before several sham trials, I call them, corrupted trials, before the chief priests and Pontius Pilate and Herod. And we're told from Scripture that following these trials that Jesus was scourged at the hands of Roman soldiers, then forced to carry his own cross through the streets of Jerusalem, which is often called the Via Dolorosa, or the Way of Sorrows. Jesus, as we read and as we know, was crucified then on Friday, the day before the Sabbath, and then he was placed in a tomb until Sunday, the day after the Sabbath, and then he miraculously and gloriously rose from the dead. He did exactly what he said he would do, defeating sin and death once and for all. That is what he did for us. So today I'd like to begin with the beginning of John 12, I'm kind of going in reverse a little bit, where we find Jesus at Bethany, where Lazarus lived. So I'd like to turn to that passage, and we'll just read it, and we'll talk about what took place before Palm Sunday. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. He was not happy. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he'd raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well, for on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and believing in him. There's a few things that I just want to talk about today before we go into our main scripture. And we all know from scripture that Lazarus had died. Jesus brought him back to life. And now Lazarus is throwing a party. Kind of a proper thing to do if somebody rose you from the dead, wouldn't you say? I'd want to throw a party. The dinner party, as we read, was given to honor Jesus. And we're told that Martha, Lazarus' one sister, served the meal. No surprise from what we know of Martha. She was a servant. She was a servant. Then there was Mary, Lazarus' other sister. And what she does makes Judas very uncomfortable. She takes his very expensive perfume, something that she had saved, worth a year's wages, and obviously she takes her hair down and she uses her hair to wipe Jesus' feet. You can imagine the picture of her on her knees in front of Jesus, just dumping this perfume on and taking her hair down and wiping his feet. When you look at those three, Lazarus invited Jesus. Martha served Jesus and Mary anointed him. All honoring Jesus with a show of humility and honor and total respect. Mary's act was pretty unusual for that day. Both because she poured the oil on Jesus' feet, not on his head. Usually when you anointed by pouring it on the head. And the second thing was, is a respectable woman would not take her hair down in public, but Mary didn't care. She undid her hair and it dropped down and she got on her knees. And she began to love Jesus and show passionately her love for her Savior. It was a servant's job to attend to someone's feet, and Mary was saying, I'm here to serve you. I'm here to wash your feet. What Mary did was radical, and it was emotional. And as I thought about that, I thought how we worship sometimes. I think, man, I don't think we get it sometimes. I really don't. When Papa Ridge sang in Grafton, and Dan and Eric and those that were there, Julie, there were, and Bruce, excuse me, when we were singing, one of the most beautiful pictures that I saw was all the people from the state school that were there. And do they know how to worship? They could teach us a thing or two. They were all into the music. They were standing on their hands. They were clapping. They were, at the end, I don't know if it's the only standing ovation we ever got, but it wasn't about us. They were giving glory to God. That's the emotion sometimes. We are so Scandinavian. I get so, and I don't, I, there's times I wish I would have, I'm not going to say it. But it's crazy. Why is that? Why do we worry when we're sitting next to someone? What if someone else sees me raise my hand just a little? What if I stuck it up there? Because I was so in love with Jesus, I couldn't stop. What if you begin to cry when God is speaking to you, when the Holy Spirit is overcoming? We fight back emotion because it's uncomfortable. What if somebody sees us? Who cares? Who cares? Don't we love Jesus that much? Don't we love Jesus like Mary and Lazarus and Martha? What kind of a meal do you think Martha prepared for Jesus? You think she went and got some Skippy peanut butter and a little bread? I don't think so. I bet she got the very best she had. Because she was celebrating someone that raised Lazarus from the dead, someone who was her Savior. I want to worship like that. I want to worship like the people from the state school in Grafton. Psalms 118, 25 through 26a, the first half. We're going to get to that. I don't want to go to that slide yet. But it says, O Lord, save us, which is what Hosanna says, or what Hosanna means. O Lord, save us. And the next word is, O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's what they're waiting. These people were waiting for a very long time. You think we have to wait for a long time? This is nothing. The life we live with our waiting. The problem was is that they had expected a king who would rule and save them on this earth. They wanted success right here and right now. They wanted Jesus to deliver them. And maybe that was part of the reason that we heard him holler Hosanna on Palm Sunday today. And then some were hollering, crucify him, because he wasn't what they thought he was on Friday. As we head into this week we call Passion Week, I think you will see the passionate way in which Jesus was committed to his mission to do what his Father had sent him to do. Jesus was fulfilling prophecy, and he was being obedient to his Father's will. There's so much that happened in this final week of Jesus' ministry that I find it amazing that Jesus' first miracle that began with his ministry was at a wedding, surrounded by family, turning water into wine. And now we see Jesus as he begins his last week on this earth, his ministry, and we see Jesus again in a family setting with Lazarus and Martha and Mary. Think about that. As I read through the scriptures and I prayed about what I was going to speak today, I thought, first of all, what came so clear to me is Jesus' love for a family and his passion to do his Father's will. Jesus was all in. He was totally committed. And did he care what his neighbor thought? I don't think so. His passion was that he would do his Father's will. So why are we so reserved? Why are we so worried about what someone's going to say about us? Who cares if you're called a Jesus freak? Who cares if you're called one of those people? Who cares what that person sitting next to you, if they're not singing and they're not raising their hands? And I'm not saying raise your hands just to raise them. Raise them if you feel the Holy Spirit telling you to. Cry if you feel the Holy Spirit overwhelming you with the love and the presence of Jesus Christ. Why are we so concerned with what someone will think about us when we worship God? Why are we worried about what someone would think about us if we talk about Jesus Christ uptown at Roxy's? Or see you praying in a restaurant, maybe as a family, or even alone? That's crazy. Mary letting her hair down and anointing Jesus, that was radical. She just wasted a year's worth of money. Got down on her hands and knees and anointed the feet of Jesus with her hair. I can't help but believe that Martha's meal, was in honor of Jesus, and it was special. And how do you think Lazarus felt? He'd experienced death. He experienced coming back to life. Can you imagine taking that first breath after being dead? Do you think you'd throw a party for Jesus? How would you feel if Jesus had rescued you from the grave? Wait a minute, isn't that what he did? Isn't that what he's already done for us? Why would we not throw him a party, and who cares who sees us? If you're a child of God, he's already saved you. He's already brought you back to life. If we really got that, if we really understood what that really meant, we wouldn't care what people thought about us. Let's go to our next slide. The next day, the great crowd had come for the festival, heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna, or O Lord, save us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. They're thrilled. Jesus found a young donkey Scripture tells us, and he sat on it. As it is written, do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt, Zechariah 9:9. At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees, paranoid, suspicious, blind, said to one another, see, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him. Crazy. My prayer for you this week is going to be that you'd first of all reach a whole new level of what it means to be passionate for Jesus Christ. Let this week in your life, 1985, Palm Sundays, when you think about it, that's really not that long, is it? You have 936 weeks with your kids, don't you? Before they turn 18 and leave the house. 1985 years. That's how many passion, what we call Palm Sundays. Let this be the week in your life that you look back one day and you say, I finally understood what it means to celebrate Passion Week, and not just for 1 week a year, but all the time. God sent his son to save me, not just for today, but for eternity. Let's go to Psalms as we close our service. Psalms 118, 25 through 26 is where John writes from. It says, O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, from the house of the Lord we bless you. And in verse 24, going back, this is the day that was prophesied. This is the day that was being prophesied when Jesus would come and ride into town. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. That's the day they were waiting for. That's the scripture that they knew. 530 years they waited for that day. That's crazy. So we celebrate this week. I want you to take out your folder the sheet I gave you and look at it and see what each day means as you go through it. What happened on Monday? What happened on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday? And when we come back on Sunday, we are going to celebrate. And I pray with passion. I pray that this week will be a difference for you. That when Sunday comes, you're not going to care who's looking at you, that you will worship. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful. God, we thank you for the gift of prophecy that we can look back and we can see that day coming. And that day came. And Father, you say there's another day coming, and that is when Jesus comes back. God, give us a passion. Help us not to care what our neighbor thinks, God, as we worship you. And at the same time, Lord, as Jesus spoke on Thursday at a supper, and he says, a new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. Help us to know how to do that. Help us to know how to love our neighbor in a very passionate way without ever compromising the truth of the gospel. Father, teach us how to love you. We can't do this without you helping us do this, Lord. We can't. Father, make us into who you want us to be. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand. We are going to close our service today by singing Amazing Grace. Hymn number 227. Please stand. Key of F. Let's sing it passionately, please. Father, we are so grateful, God, and we pray that you'd guide us. Father, help us to live for you passionately. God, help us to live for you. Help us to be all in. And Lord, help us to live as the example that your Son Jesus set for us, that we would say, not my will, but your will be done, Lord. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Lancaster Covenant Church podcast. For more information on gathering times and the Lancaster Covenant Church community, please visit our website at lancastercovenant.com.